I invite you to turn with me to our text this Lord's Day, as it's found in 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. First Kings 22, verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into thy hand, into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on the robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaanah, made him horns of iron. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, With these shalt thou push the Syrians, until thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Even those Christians who have a good reputation for faithfulness, undisputed integrity, and faithfully promote reformation may be led to compromise their testimony for Jesus Christ by unholy alliances. Sometimes the pressure to conform to the call of unity seems too much to resist. Sometimes the desire not to be small or all alone and by yourself any longer finally wins. Sometimes the temptation to be like everyone else pulls one into unholy friendships and alliances. Dear ones, God warns us all against fellowship with that which is unrighteous in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 17. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Dear ones, to make friends with the world that will lure us from our love for Jesus Christ is to become guilty, the Lord God says, of spiritual adultery in James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Godly King Jehoshaphat had a weakness in this particular area of unholy alliances, and it nearly cost him his life, as we shall see in a subsequent sermon. He was even rebuked by the Lord through his prophet for this unholy alliance with King Ahab. And he did not turn his back upon a yet future alliance with the son, the wicked son of King Ahab. What about you? Are unholy alliances and friendships with the world leading you away from a holy friendship and alliance with Jesus Christ? The Lord warns you that you are setting yourself up for a very big fall, as happened with a godly man. A man who, the scripture says, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as far as his general rule within his kingdom, but had this weakness. He was set up for a very big fall. Dear ones, heed the word of the Lord to you today. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The main points from our text this Lord's Day are, first of all, Jehoshaphat forms an unholy alliance with Ahab. 1 Kings 22, verses 1 through 4. Second main point, false prophets are called to confirm the will of Ahab. 1 Kings 22, verses 5 through 12. And the third main point, a true prophet reveals the will of God. 1 Kings 22, verses 13 through 14. Our first main point, Jehoshaphat forms an unholy alliance with Ahab. In 1 Kings 22, verse 1, we learn that it had now been 3 years since there had been any war between the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Syria, dating back to when God had delivered, you'll remember, delivered Israel from the overwhelming forces of the Syrians under King Ben-Hadad back in 1 Kings chapter 20. The Lord brought two mighty deliverances to Israel. And at that time, after the second deliverance, Ben-Hadad made a covenant with Ahab that he would return all of the cities that his father, King Ben-Hadad's father, had taken from Israel. He states that in 1 Kings 20, verse 34. It had now been 3 years, and there still was not a keeping of that covenant on the part of King Ben-Hadad. For we see that Ramoth-Gilead had not been returned to Israel. Ramoth-Gilead was a significant city. It was on the other side of the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan River, and was at one time one of the cities of refuge. We now see from our text that King Jehoshaphat of Judah made a royal visit to Samaria, the capital of Israel. And during that visit, Jehoshaphat entered into an unholy alliance with King Ahab. We read in verses 2 through 4. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Let's consider, first of all, the true greatness that the Lord himself acknowledges about this king of Judah, King Jehoshaphat, particularly in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, we find some of these accomplishments and some of his faithfulness mentioned. In verses 3 through 4 of chapter 17, we find that Jehoshaphat sought the Lord and walked in God's commandments. He did not follow the religion of Baal, as did Israel. We also learn from 2 Chronicles 17, in verse 6, he promoted reformation in Judah by taking away the various idols, by taking away the high places and groves that were dedicated to false gods. We also find in verses 7 through 9 that he sent both his princes and his Levites and the Levites throughout the cities of Judah to teach all of the people within the kingdom of Judah about the law of God. They didn't have their own copies of the scripture in each home, but he sent them into all the towns, the princes and the Levites, to instruct and teach them in the ways of the Lord. We read in verses 10 through 11 that the fear of the Lord fell upon all of the nations, the surrounding nations around Israel, as a result of the fear of God that Jehoshaphat had. And that they so feared Jehoshaphat in Israel, or Judah, that they brought tribute into the coffers of Judah because they wanted peace. They did not want to have Judah at war with them. And we read in verses 12 through 13 of 2 Chronicles 17, and that as a result, the kingdom of Judah prospered in every way under the leadership of this godly king. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 32, he did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. What a glorious legacy was Jehoshaphat's due to God's blessing upon his life. Due to Jehoshaphat's faithfulness in following the Lord In Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Is it any wonder that the reproach of God rests upon this nation? This nation is not exalted. Is not exalted as a nation that brings forth the fruit of the kingdom of God. It is due to the unrighteousness of this nation that we find ourselves under the judgment of the Lord our God. However, in spite of what I've just said and what the scripture says about Jehoshaphat had a sinful weakness that nearly led to his death. And that was forming unholy alliances with the wicked. He even incurred the stern rebuke of the Lord through God's prophet for this unholy alliance once he returned back to Judah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19, verses 2 through 3, we read, "And Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." In this regard, Jehoshaphat was not wise, but was truly foolish in establishing an alliance with the idolatrous king of Israel, Ahab. We cannot imagine that it was out of a fondness for idolatry that this unholy alliance was formed with Ahab. It wasn't out of a fondness for the sexual deviation and perversion that was rampant in Israel, the temples of Baal and Asherah, that he formed this unholy alliance with Ahab. Why did Jehoshaphat give his approval to form this unholy alliance in response to Ahab's inquiry? Will you join with us in going to battle Syria and to regain Ramoth-Gilead? Well, let's consider at least some possibilities here. Perhaps Jehoshaphat went to Samaria to seek unity in church and in state, to promote reformation there as he had brought it about in Judah. You'll recall that the two kingdoms, Judah and Israel, were at one time one kingdom under David and Solomon. At one time they had the same religion, one temple, one priesthood. They were of the same blood of the 12 tribes of Israel. They were under the same covenant made with Abraham. And therefore, perhaps this was his thought, to try to promote reformation there in Israel. Perhaps Jehoshaphat sought a military alliance with Ahab that would gain them both greater protection against mutual enemies. Perhaps Jehoshaphat had already entered into an unholy alliance with the house of Ahab by way of the marriage of his son Jehoram to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, Athaliah. For we read in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 18, that Jehoshaphat gave his son in marriage to the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Perhaps that unholy alliance had already occurred. And therefore, he goes to Samaria because they're related. Or if the unholy alliance of marriage occurs afterwards, then it's just a perpetuation of unholy alliances again after this one that we were reading about now in 1 Kings 22. Whatever the reason that Jehoshaphat goes to Ahab, the Lord gave a severe censure of this grievous sin, which was repeated again by Jehoshaphat with Ahab's son, Jehoram, in 2 Kings 3:7, where this time it's the Moabites. Come and join me, Jehoshaphat, to war against the Moabites. And the exact same words are uttered by Jehoshaphat a second time. Yours is mine. Your people are my people. Your horses are our horses or your horses. In effect, we're one. Dear ones, no matter how you might strive to promote reformation in your life, in your family, in the church, and in the nation, if you are not careful about the alliances and friendships you establish, you are vulnerable to being outflanked by the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived." And when a passage begins with those words, "Be not deceived," you know how vulnerable we all are. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications or associations corrupt good manners, corrupt good character. Good morals can be corrupted through our unholy alliances with the wicked, with the backslidden. If you crave and must have the approval of others, or financial gain, or simply enjoyment and pleasure, the friendship of those who share not the same convictions that you have in regard to the truth, association with organizations that embrace not our scriptural terms and historical terms of communion, whether they be pro-life organizations that do not hold our same terms of communion, political organizations, religious organizations. If we find ourselves in those types of associations, or courting young men, young women, courting associations, courting alliances and relationships, you are being deceived that good will come from such familiar contacts. It is more likely that when it is your convictions that have been compromised, that you will forsake them than that those who differ with you will forsake theirs. And do not think for a moment that you have to personally even know the person that you formed an association with as to their convictions or character in order to be corrupted through their music. How many people are associated with those that do not share our convictions? They form an association mentally and emotionally through listening to music, watching movies and movie stars that are contrary to our convictions. Sports stars form a relationship and an association with a sports and athletic star and follow them and become so familiar with them, know everything about them, though they've never met. Or political stars form associations with them. And you simply follow them and emulate them and find yourself hooked. See, you do not have to know somebody personally to form that type of an association or an unholy alliance with that person. That can happen through all form of media available to us. And God condemns it. God condemns it as an unholy alliance. Our second main point, false prophets are called to rubber stamp the will of Ahab, to confirm the will of Ahab. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 5 through 12. Jehoshaphat first speaks and acts in this serious matter of an unholy alliance with Ahab. And then, after he's already made a decision, he seeks the will of God in the matter. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 5. It's after he's already said to Ahab, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses, that he then says afterwards, but Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Wouldn't it have been the right order to say, let's inquire at the hand and the word of the Lord first, before making that decision? Here we see that Jehoshaphat only mentions things that unified him with Ahab, that were of common origin and heritage. He doesn't address the disunion. He doesn't address anything regarding doctrine or worship or faith or life and practicing the commandments of God. This is not going to turn out well for Jehoshaphat. And dear ones, it will not turn out well for us either. Had Jehoshaphat first told Ahab that he needed to hear from the Lord concerning this matter, he would have avoided all manner of trouble in his life and in the lives of his posterity that followed through that unholy marriage and alliance between the ungodly line of Ahab and the godly line of Jehoshaphat. Dear ones, when you care enough to seek out the will of God through His Word, through your reading of the Scripture, through the confession of faith, through faithful preaching and teaching, and through faithful counsel, you are headed in the right direction. When you care not enough, you're headed in the wrong direction. And when upon hearing the truth, you ignore it, you ignore the truth and do whatever you want to do anyways, you were truly headed in the wrong direction, as did Jehoshaphat, because, as we'll see, a true prophet of God is called, and he gives the word of the Lord, and Jehoshaphat still disobeys. He still disobeys because he had formed this unholy alliance with Ahab. How hard it is, once we've entered into those unholy alliances with the wicked, to break them. How hard and difficult it is to break them. Even when we are convicted, even when we say, I cannot continue in this unholy alliance, even when the Lord speaks to us in our hearts and we continue in that willful way. It's very difficult. And that's why we must, from the outset, that's why the Lord says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. But the Lord is still able to use even those collisions that result as a result, as coming from our unwillingness to heed his word. And we end up banging ourselves against a brick wall. God's able to use even those collisions for our good, for our growth in Jesus Christ, if we will but repent, seek his face, turn again, and walk in faith and love and obedience to Jesus Christ. After Jehoshaphat realized that he had not sought the counsel of the Lord in this alliance with Ahab, he requests that the word of the Lord be sought. Ahab brings 400 false prophets to merely confirm what he already wants to do, what he has told them he wants to do, probably. What do we learn from these false prophets as to how they misled Ahab and Jehoshaphat? What do we learn? Well, several things. We learn that you cannot place your confidence in ministers to faithfully declare the word of the Lord simply because of these four reasons, simply because these things happen to be the case. You cannot place your confidence in ministers to faithfully declare the word of the Lord simply because, first of all, they claim to speak in the name of the Lord and make a profession of faith. Because these false prophets did as well. They said that the Lord saith, Jehovah saith. They claim to be speaking in the name of the Lord. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me, not some, not few, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. By way of an intimate knowledge of love, a relationship, the name of the Lord was used, but God did not know them. And God did not know these false prophets, though they used his name to prophesy. Well, how will you know false prophets, teachers, ministers? How will you discern those who are faithful from those who are not? Well, Jesus says you will know them by their fruits. Matthew 7, verses 15 through 16. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits, by the fruit of doctrine and by the fruit of their life? Did they love God's commandments? Did they teach what is faithful? We have faithful summaries of God's word in our confession, our catechism, our directories, our covenants. Do they adhere to those? Do they adhere to those faithful documents? And do they, by God's grace, seek to practice them in God's commandments? Not perfect men, but men who are willing to confess that they have sinned. Men who are willing to acknowledge that they need Jesus Christ as much as anyone. Secondly, we know those who may be false prophets and declare the word of the Lord and stand upon the fact that there are many of them. And will claim, though being false prophets, that they are true prophets because look how many are standing with us. Look how many there are of us. There were 400 of them. There was only one faithful prophet. They will claim, we are in the majority. This is what is noted in verse 6. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the man who brought Micaiah, true prophet, makes clear that they had all spoken with one mouth. Many of them, 400, and a third reason here that you cannot place your confidence in ministers to faithfully declare the word of the Lord simply for a third reason, because they say they're united. Not only do they say they're many of them, but they say they're united. They speak with one mouth against Micaiah. To be united in standing for error, dear ones, is a greater means of deception, greater means of deceiving the many, when there are many who stand united in error. True, there is great blessing in being united in standing for one doctrine that is pure, worship that is sound, and government that is faithful per the solemn league and covenant. There's great blessing in standing in union and unity in that which is faithful and true. There's great deception in standing in unity in error. It's much more likely to mislead the masses, the many. You cannot place your confidence in ministers to faithfully declare the word of the Lord finally and simply because they are entertaining and innovative, as we see here in the case of Zedekiah, who has iron horns that he uses. Horns represent power. And so one horn is supposed to represent Israel. The other horn is supposed to represent Judah. And he has this object lesson in which he has these horns, whether he put them on his head or I'm not sure how he used them, whether he held them. But he said, with these horns, you will push the Syrians out of Ramoth Gilead with these horns. And again, The enemy of our soul is very clever, entertaining, and catches the eye and ear of people by appealing to the sight and pleasures of man, what man wants to hear, what man wants to see. Beware, be careful. When those who profess to be ministers are seeking more to entertain, to be innovative, it has nothing at all to do with the truth of Jesus Christ. The third and final main point, a true prophet is called to reveal the will of God. Here in the case of the prophet Micaiah. Interestingly, Jehoshaphat did not hear the voice of the Lord in the prophecies of the 400 prophets. Otherwise, why would he have asked for a prophet besides those 400? He knew, Jehoshaphat knew by the influence and operation of the Holy Spirit within him that something was not right. Something was not right. Something was very wrong here. He therefore asks in verse 7, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides these 400 prophets? To which Ahab begrudgingly replies that there is one prophet, Micaiah, but Ahab says, I hate him. I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. He never tells Ahab what Ahab wants to hear. He doesn't tickle Ahab's ear as do unfaithful prophets and ministers. Reminds us of the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Certainly Elijah had not prophesied good about Ahab at all. But interestingly, he calls for Micaiah to be brought into this setting as a prophet of the Lord. Why not Elijah? Why Micaiah? I would submit, just as a possibility, that Elijah was not in captivity, was not in prison, whereas Micaiah likely was, because in verse 26 of this chapter, when Ahab goes to war, he says, take him back to where he was under the authority of this particular judge or this particular governor. Take him back. Implying that that's where he was. So he was in confinement. He was in prison already. Elijah wasn't. And so this faithful prophet was called, most likely, for that reason, rather than Elijah. Because he had already said, I hate this guy. Because he doesn't prophesy, you know, anything good about me. So it wasn't because he thought this prophet would be more favorable to him than Elijah, but probably because he had him already under arrest in prison. And so therefore he could easily bring him to where he and Jehoshaphat were. How does Micaiah, true prophet of God, reveal by the fruit in his life that he was a faithful prophet and a minister of the Lord? First of all, I believe he reveals this because he was willing to suffer the wrath of the king in standing for the truth. Because he was already likely in prison, in jail, and knew that Jezebel and Ahab together had conspired to destroy the life of Nabal and had killed 100 prophets even earlier, had killed and destroyed prophets earlier as we began our series dealing with Elijah. That he had already done so. This was not something of which Micaiah was unaware. He knew this, but he was willing to suffer the wrath of the king and to speak the truth regardless. He, along with every faithful Christian and every faithful minister since then, can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Not might, but shall suffer persecution. A second way in which we can discern that Micaiah was a faithful prophet and minister of the Lord: he did not tickle even the ears of one having such authority of life and death, a wicked and powerful king who could slay him at a mere whim. For this reason, Ahab, as we said, hated him. By flattering Ahab with what he wanted to hear, Micaiah could have easily avoided being taken back to jail, suffering any further punishment from Ahab. You see, dear ones, those who are faithful to the truth are not usually popular with the masses, or at times with even and even at times not popular with fellow Christians. Consider the testimony of faithful Samuel Rutherford, who wrote this during a very grievous time in the history of Scotland. Controversy between what were called the protesters and the resolutioners. Protesters standing faithfully for the solemn league and covenant. The resolutioners making compromises to the solemn league and covenant. And he testifies to this effect when he says, "We pray for the coming of his kingdom and praise him that the number of those that seek the Lord in Scotland are not diminished, but grow even under evil shepherds and lazy feeders, which is the lily among the thorns. Though we," talking about himself and his fellow protesters, "though we go under the name of protesters, separatists, hypocrites, unpeaceable, implacable spirits, are made as the filth of the world and the offscourings of all things, yea, troubled on every side, in the streets, pulpits, in divers synods, presbyteries, etc., more than under prelacy, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed." That's found in his book, the preface of his book, A Survey of the Survey of That Sum of Church Discipline. And thirdly, we see and understand that Micaiah demonstrated himself to be a faithful prophet and minister of the Lord. Thirdly, even after he was told how the 400 prophets had already agreed in their prophecy that Ahab would be victorious over the Syrians, Micaiah was faithful to the truth of the Lord, even if he must stand alone. In verse 14, he says, first the man that brought him, the messenger that brought him, it says in verse 13, and the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. Micaiah was faithful to the truth. Was faithful to the truth of the Lord again, even if he must stand all by himself. Just as Elijah had done on Mount Carmel. All of the prophets, the 450 false prophets, and the priests of Baal there on Mount Carmel. See, when we are faithful to the Lord, we will stand for what is right and what is true, no matter if the whole world stands against us. That's faithfulness. That's not cowering before the masses. It's standing for what is revealed in God's word. Faithful ministers will do precisely that. Jesus tells us that it's the hireling, the hired servant that watches the sheep that will flee when the wolves attack, but the faithful shepherd cares for and loves the sheep and will defend them. These are some of the fruit that we observe in the life of this faithful minister of the Lord, Micaiah, and we'll likewise see in the faithful ministers of the Lord throughout history. After having formed this unholy alliance with Ahab, as was said earlier, Jehoshaphat felt he could not now back away from his association with Ahab. After he had recognized that the 400 prophets did not speak the word of the Lord, but Micaiah did, Jehoshaphat did not stand upon the word of the Lord. Why? Why? Perhaps he felt pressured by Ahab. Perhaps he was embarrassed because he had entered into this unholy alliance and he was going to continue the alliance rather than have egg on his face. Perhaps he thought this would bring war if he were to break this alliance between Israel and Judah. Regardless of the reason, here we see the fall of a good man who foolishly entered into an unholy alliance but was unwilling to do what was right in the sight of the Lord and to end that unholy alliance. Jehoshaphat, through this alliance, lost ground, not gained ground, but lost ground in being able to bring reformation in the kingdom of Israel. If that was his thought, that he might be used to bring reformation there, he lost ground. He didn't gain any ground through his union. You see, dear ones, when union with others to fight a common foe is not based upon a common agreement in the truth, it is an alliance that will certainly fail. For how will you reprove their sins and errors if you joined knowing their sins and errors at the outset, but did not reprove them when you united with them? If you judge, they will not listen to you. When forming such a union, Why should they listen to you after you have formed such a union with them? If you countenance, dear ones, their sins and errors at the beginning, will they patiently bear your reproof of their sins and errors at the end? If you go with them 1 mile at the beginning in compromising the truth, may they not expect you to go 2 miles later by way of compromise of the truth? And so many unions, and unions we ourselves are called to unite with other churches that are not upholding the truth and being faithful to terms of communion that are scriptural and historical. These are the problems in unions of that nature. Just as Jehoshaphat did not and would not bring reformation to Israel, it is usually the case, those types of unions do not bring reformation. Dear ones, not all business agreements with unbelievers are unholy unless you have to compromise God's truth and God's commandments in order to maintain that alliance, that contract. Dear ones, love the Lord. Love His truth more than any alliance that you believe would have some material benefit to you. Buy the truth and sell it not. The Lord Jesus gave His life for you in order that you might be united to Him, in order that you might, by way of covenant and a holy alliance, be joined to Jesus Christ. You are, as God's people, united to Him. Do not bring shame upon that alliance by way of unholy alliances. That's why James says it's spiritual adultery to enter into unholy alliances, because we are united to Jesus Christ. Have not fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:11, but rather reprove them. Dear ones, you will never, ever regret your union and alliance with Jesus Christ. You will regret any unholy alliances. But you will never regret your holy alliance with Jesus Christ, your covenant with Him for all eternity. You will rejoice in that holy alliance. Amen. Please stand with me in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us for all the unholy alliances in our lives. Convict us of our sin. Show us, O Lord, that even those who, like Jehoshaphat, may do what is right in the sight of the Lord can fall into unholy alliances, and as a result bear the pain, the heartache, and the shame of these unholy alliances. Oh Father, we pray that Thou would grant to us wisdom. Let us not be foolish in seeking the will of God in any of these unions that we might have. Lord, that we would judge those unions based upon Thy word, upon faithful confessions of faith that summarize Thy word, upon faithful teaching and instruction from Thy word. Guide and lead us, we do pray, our Lord, in the paths of righteousness and truth. causes to hunger and thirst, Father, even to greater degrees, friendship with thee, and not friendship with this world, and the evil things in this world that lead us away from our communion with Jesus Christ. Lord, hear our prayers, for we do come to thee through Christ our Savior. Amen.